Blog Talk Radio.
Did you know there's a secret place to expand your mind? A place to escape the same old negative news? Welcome to Colombo Chronicles Live with Rose Colombo, award-winning author, cable TV and radio host, poet, and advocate for justice. Rose has been seen and heard on local and national TV and radio. She's consulted with victims of injustice for more than 20 years. Her articles have been published in major and local newspapers and magazines. Listen live as Rose Colombo welcomes prominent authors and experts to her podcast every Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. Pacific Time at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles. You can call in and ask questions at 646-564-9742. Follow Rose Colombo every Wednesday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. on Colombo Chronicles Live at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles.
Hi, everyone. This is the Rose Colombo, right here for you.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure. Be sure to bring your appetite.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
Hi, everyone. Listen up. This is the Rose Colombo right here for you every Wednesday, God willing, from noon to 1 p.m. And today is a very, very happy holiday season, a very happy Christmas to all, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, holiday, whichever you celebrate. You know, whichever you celebrate, I wish you the very best. Because we are one family. The world is getting smaller and smaller. We are all brothers and sisters to bring in the new year with more love and more kindness and more random acts of kindness and friendship, and not look at the outside of a person, but the inside. That would be fantastic, right? If we could learn to do that, that would be great. Anyway, the best is yet to come, I predict, in 2022. And the best that this holiday season can bring, in my opinion, is love, unity, health, justice for all, restoration of the greatest republic ever developed in the world, a sovereign nation, one nation under God, higher power, whichever you prefer, that needs healing. And I think we're going to be on our way, and we need to bring hope and love, peace and harmony back into the universe so that it comes back to us. And that's the gift I hope and pray happens for everyone this holiday season. So welcome to Colombo Chronicles, and thank you for joining us today. Every day should be like Christmas, someone once said, and we have a very special guest today to talk about that. But then I have to ask, would it be as exciting if we had Christmas every day? It may not be just as exciting as something to look forward to, but a little bit of Christmas every day wouldn't hurt. More and more people are saying this year, it's more about family and friends, not about the material gifts, but just being with family and friends and enjoying health and love and friendship. And the gifts are, of course, welcome as well. It's always fun to give gifts and see their faces, their happy faces on the person you are giving to that you care about. But we do have a dynamic guest for you today. Fun show of entertainment, because this is the time for fun and entertainment as well. Because this is, as I said, the season to give and laugh and be merry. And his name is Herbie J. Pilato. He is a popular, well-respected media personality, and I'm going to tell you about him in just a moment or so when we enter into the world of authors and experts every week with a dynamic guest. Tell you about, and Herbie will tell you about, his upcoming book in 2022, The 12 Best Secrets of Christmas, Holiday Revelations to celebrate all year long. By the way, did you know when Christmas first occurred? Well, it's kind of interesting. So before we enter into the world of authors and experts, Christmas first occurred December 25th, 336 AD. That's a very, very long time ago. So we should always keep the tradition going. Who first invented Christmas, the first recorded incident of Christmas being celebrated, actually dates all the way back to the Roman Empire in 336 AD, during the time of the Roman Emperor Constantine. So technically, we Italians, the Romans, invented it, just like we discovered America. So we take pride in that. Although there's no specific person who is credited with having done so. I thought that was a little interesting tidbit. And now we are going to enter into the world of authors and experts with our dynamic guest, Herbie J. Pilato. And that's P-I-L-A-T-O if you want to look him up on the web. And he is a writer, a producer, a TV personality. His credits include CNN's 8-part series, History of the Sitcom, The Reels Channel, Autopsy on Elizabeth Montgomery, Bravo's 5-part series, The 100 Greatest TV Characters, and TLC's Behind the Fame special on The Mary Tyler Moore Show, which everybody loves and still watches, the classics. And he's done so much more we're going to ask him about in just one moment. So why don't we get started and enter into the world of authors and experts right after this important message, and we will be right back.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure. Be sure to bring your appetite.
Columbo Chronicles Live. Columbo is on their trail. Listen up at Columbo Chronicles Live.
Yes, we are live, and we are here for you every Wednesday. And today we are talking to Herbie J. Pilato, P-I-L-A-T-O, and he is a writer, producer, TV personality, and he's going to share some of his story as well as how he got involved in the media, and he seems to have a passion for it, and he's been very successful in it. And tell us more about some of the stars and celebrities he's met and worked with. And the key here is Christmas, and he is going to share his upcoming book for 2022, The 12 Best Secrets of Christmas, Holiday Revelations to Celebrate All Year Long, December 22. And he's going to tell us more. Biographies of Sean Connery. Oh, my God, that good-looking man. He is a stunner. So anyway, we can't wait to hear about that. So let's say hello to Herbie J. Pilato. Hi, Herbie. So good to hear your voice again.
Hi, Rose, and Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays to all.
Yes, thank you, and the same to you. And so, you know, this is a great time of the year. We have a lot of people that are, you know, in the spirit of Christmas or Hanukkah or Kwanzaa, whatever they celebrate. And it's a time for giving, and which is always fun. But also a time, you know, to explore new ideas like how to celebrate all year long, Christmas all year long. So that'll be fun to talk about. But tell us a little bit about your background, Herbie.
Well, I grew up in Rochester, New York, which is upstate. It's the third largest city in the world, in the state. And I decided to move to Los Angeles originally to pursue acting. Became interested in the backstage or behind the scenes aspects of the industry when I began working as an NBC page, and then I broke my toe. And I wrote a reunion movie for Bewitched. Elizabeth Montgomery didn't want to do the reunion movie, so I wrote a book about the original show, and then I started writing other books from that, and then producing and being featured in documentaries about classic TV shows.
Wow, that's amazing. So you actually have a passion and love for writing and creating and creativity. So what are your favorite works that you worked on?
I'm going to say out of all the, you know, the books that I've done and TV shows and whatnot, that the original Bewitched book is always going to be special to me because it was my first. But also my Mary Tyler Moore biography, which came out just a couple years ago, I think that's one of my best works because I knew Elizabeth and Montgomery, and I was still objective with her when I wrote about her, but it was kind of hard to be objective because she was a friend. And then also with Mary, I didn't know Mary, so it was a little easier to be more objective. And as a result, I think my writing was stronger. But at the same time, too, NBC and Me, My Life is a Page in a Book. Just the title alone I love. And that was the easiest book to write because there was no research. It was all in my head. That was about my life as a page.
And explain to the audience what you mean by you were a page.
Oh, yes. Okay. An NBC page is really a guest relations representative slash tour guide slash usher at various shows that NBC has done. ABC pages, ABC has pages, CBS has pages. But to be an NBC page, that's kind of like the cream of the crop. And that was my internship in Hollywood. I worked in the 80s. I worked at Tonight Show, Wheel of Fortune, The Golden Girls, Family Ties. It was just a terrific time.
So you met a lot of celebrities. Which celebrities stand out in your head that you would always feel close to or cherish?
Well, certainly Elizabeth, that, you know, she was a lovely human being who did so much for so many, and she brought the world of witches to be a kind world from her eyes anyway, not her mom's eyes and Dora. But but also too, I met anyone who was anyone in the 80s on the Tonight Show. It was like everybody who had any kind of name in that period came on the Tonight Show. Farrah Fawcett and Paul McCartney, John Travolta, Cyndi Lauper. I think Paul McCartney stands out the most because everybody at NBC that day who was in the building knew that Paul was going to be on the show. So they all lined up, you know, backstage. And when Paul walked by, everybody's eyes just followed him. It's amazing. No matter what age you are, people just love Paul McCartney.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. and he was very good looking, too.
Oh, wow. That's a good one, right? And he's not Italian, so go figure.
Yeah, how'd that happen? Just kidding. tell us about your holiday revelations to celebrate all year long. What made you decide to write that book that is coming out in 2022?
Yes. I had wanted to write this book for a very, very long time, and it's been written for a very long time. It just has never been the right time to be published, but now. I look at it as my first mainstream nonfiction book. The others, like, you know, are more classic TV-oriented or media-oriented or pop culture-oriented. This one is Christmas, you know, and everybody loves Christmas, and I wanted to get a message out about how wonderful Christmas really is, whatever your religion. It's not about the religion. It's about love. It's, you know, the fact that God is love, or the universe is love, or love is love, whether you believe in Jesus, Moses, you know, Buddha, or Mr. Spock. You know, if you believe in love, that's what it's all about. So I took memories of my childhood growing up in Erie Street in Rochester, and I gave each memory a title, and each memory has a message, a secret message. And the way I look at it, too, is this book is kind of like a cross between life's little instruction book and everything I know I learned in kindergarten and the Christmas box. So it's those three combos in one. And it's just a little 5x7 hardcover gift book, and I'm just tickle pink that it's finally coming out.
Oh, because, you know, I really believe that we need to bring back positivity into our country and into the world and the universe, because if we put it out into the universe, eventually it comes back to us, and because we're part of the universe and nature. And I truly believe, you know, that it is possible to bring back more peace and unity and respect for each other, and bring back love, because love is the key, like you said, to a peaceful universe and communication, you know. But without love, communication doesn't really work that great.
Absolutely. I mean, I am 100% behind that. And yes, we need it now more today. As a matter of fact, I just sent out an email about one of my favorite quotes is, "No man is an island. No one goes his way alone. Whatever we send into the lives of others comes back into our own." And I received that quote, I'll never forget it, from my eighth grade graduation from my eighth grade teacher, Miss Ganzini, God bless her. She saw that I was a little bit of a smarty, and she was trying to, you know, gear me into the right direction, into, you know, be positive. Not that I was ever an evil kid, but I was definitely a little what's the word? Loud. What is it?
I said,
what
did
you
say?
Yeah, let's go with that. So she helped me bring it down a notch. And that's how I really feel about things today. That's why, you know, it's not as though I don't get angry, cry like the rest of the world. I do all of those things. I get very upset at certain things that upset me. But on Facebook and social media and then on a show like this, I rise to the occasion and try to put my best foot out there, because it's important when you're in the public eye, whatever level you are, to always take the high road. You know, I don't allow any divisive thoughts on my social media pages. No political, no religious stuff, nothing. And if anybody does that and says anything mean-spirited about me or anyone else I know or don't know, they are automatically blocked. So I don't have time for that.
Yeah, I think, you know, that political should be political, but I don't think it should be, because I'm a political soul, but because of I'm an advocate for justice, that's why. But it's still a positive thing to make sure that everybody's getting justice, right? And
of course.
There's very little justice right now. So we have to make sure that everybody is getting justice. And I'm agreeing with you because I don't like the negativity where they're judging somebody because you've been arrested, because that doesn't mean you're guilty. And yet this poor person the media is totally guilty.
Exactly. And that's because there's the court of public opinion on everything. And as long as you, like I say, I respect everybody's opinion. I respect everybody's right to believe whatever they want to. But it's not my MO. It's not my gig to play that game. My gig is happy classic TV, joy, spiritual growth, growth as a human being. You know, let's all get along. That's where I come from. And I wake up every day and I say to myself, how can I make this world a better place? Or what could I do today? You know, how can I make someone smile? It sounds so corny, but that's the truth of it. And again,
no,
it's not as though I don't get upset.
It's not corny at all.
No. Well, thank you. Thank you. So,
no, it's
anyway,
not.
I like
that philosophy, and I think that it's going to show up in your book, The 12 Best Secrets of Christmas Holiday Revelation, to celebrate all year long when it comes out in 2022. And I think more books like that. I always encourage people who are looking for spiritual gifts to give to back to the world is very important today.
It is. It definitely is. In any way you can do it, whether you're an author, an accountant, whatever, you could be great and kind and sweet and dignified wherever you are. You know, you could be that at the grocery store. If you're a clerk, if you're a bag girl or a bag boy, or you're picking up the carts in the street, whatever, you can be great wherever you are. One of my first jobs was for a maintenance person at one of the supermarkets in Rochester, New York. And I made sure that those floors were clean and sweeped and shiny as much as I could. And if I had to clean the toilets, I cleaned the toilets, and those were the cleanest toilets that supermarket ever had. So I gave 100% to whatever I did, and I did it joyfully, and that's how I still try to do things today.
That's the philosophy I pass on to my adult daughters. I tell them, you know, if you're doing a job, which one of my daughters really didn't like the job, and I said, it doesn't matter which job you're doing, you just got to do it the very best you can for that employer. And I said, and give it your all. And I said, and it's going to pay off because you won't be there forever. It's a stepping stone, and there's something you're supposed to learn. That's my philosophy,
right?
Too. Yeah. I think everything that everybody we talk to, everybody we smile at, everybody we touch, I truly believe that it's not a coincidence, because I don't believe in coincidences. I believe that we're there for that particular second or minutes or whatever. Like the lady in the store yesterday, she was a black lady, and she dropped some stuff off the shelf, and she said, "Oh my goodness!" I started laughing. I said, "Let me help you." I said, "Because that's something I would do." By accident, of course. And she started laughing. And so that's the kind of thing you need to help people get through, because she was so worried and upset, you know. And then she said, "You have a Merry Christmas." I go, "You have a Merry Christmas, too." So, I mean, I think that's the kind of camaraderie we need to share with people. And just take that special moment to take the opportunity to make somebody feel better, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, Christmas is a magical, definitely a magical time. People are nicer to each other at this time, when they're more open to being nicer and less abusive and less hurtful, less mean-spirited. But the book, you know, or any book, my book or any good book about Christmas or any joyful, positive book can be read and appreciated all year long. You know, Christmas is the impetus for love and unity and diversity and however you want to name, you know, acceptance. But those are lessons that we can keep and hold and share all year long. So that's what this book is about, Christmas, and yet it's also about every day.
And is there any little tiny blurb you can tell us about in the book, a little story or anything that could give us a little insight?
Yes, yes. One chapter is called Let It Snow. And I talk about the day when I was a kid at St. Peter's and Paul Grammar School, Elementary School, Parochial School, and Rochester on Brown Street, where the church was on Main Street, West Main Street, three doors down, by the way, from the Susan B. Anthony House, where she was born. And it was just, you know, those first days as a kid when you see the snow and you're in class and you look out the window and it's like, oh, wow, snow. And, you know, we all were just so excited seeing the snow out the window and how the teacher would say things like, it's only snow. You know, it's not like you've discovered gold, but it was more than snow. And when I remember going home from school after that big, that was a particular snowstorm that day, and making angels in the snow. You know, did you ever do that, Rose? Ever make angels in the snow when you were a kid or now?
Yes, we'd go out to Big Bear in the snow and do that.
Right. So just the fact that we were allowed to make, or that we were able to make angels in the snow, I thought, okay, let it snow. That's the secret of snow. If you can make angels with it, that's got to be a magical thing. So that's the gist of, you know, one example, one of the 12 secrets of Christmas. You know, the others are about gifts and how we should love the gift giver and not the gift. Dining with our families and whatnot. I don't want to give too many secrets away because...
No, but I mean, at least, you know, they have a clue now why they should buy the book, because it's going to be uplifting and it's going to make them smile and it's going to make them also want to do and remember those little things that are so important at Christmas.
Yes. And the illustration on the front was done by a dear friend of mine, Carol Munchie, just a genius artist. I told her of how she read one chapter in the book where I talk about what it was like to look at my Christmas tree out on the street, you know, all bundled up in my leggings in 1965 or 66, whenever it was, and looking at the tree from the outside. And just in saying that, or just in reading that story, she came up with this beautiful illustration, which is on the cover of the book, of this little boy in leggings looking at a brick house in the tree inside the house. It was just wonderful.
Yes, it reminds me of a poem I wrote. I can't remember it offhand, but won an award, but it was like 15 years ago, about a magical Christmas tree. So it does touch people, because looking at those and the smell and everything, it just makes people happy.
Absolutely. You know, there's been a lot of concern lately with, you know, don't play Christmas music at the restaurants, don't put up decorations. And I can understand that to a certain extent, but truly, I really don't see how, you know, pretty lights, just pretty lights, is going to offend anyone, or a Merry Christmas song, or putting up. I have many friends who happen to be Jewish who put up their Christmas trees. I just love that, you know. And I worked in an office a few years ago that was a mixture of all different cultures, and there was a Christmas tree right next door to a menorah, you know. So it's just beautiful to celebrate the differences, but I don't think we have to isolate them or ostracize differences, you know, and people shouldn't be insulted be insulted when someone says Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, okay, for Catholics and Christians, whatever, it's about Jesus is the season, and that's beautiful, and I love Jesus. But that doesn't mean if I say Merry Christmas to you that I'm forcing you to love Jesus. I'm just celebrating who I am and what I feel and what I believe in, and I'm just sharing that with you. And it's not even still about when I say Merry Christmas. It's not about Merry Jesus Christmas. It's about Merry Christmas.
And the thing is that we don't try to stop anyone else from celebrating their holidays. In fact, we embrace them. I have some Turkish ladies who are my dear friends, and they celebrate Christmas and they put up the Christmas trees and they love it. They said, "Oh no, we're Americans." They don't look at it as a religion. They look at it as fun and beautiful.
Exactly. And that's what Jesus and, again, Mr. Spock and Moses and Buddha would want. They would want us all just to love each other. You know, God comes to us as we believe God to be. And that's all there's to it. And if you believe God is Jesus, great. If you believe God is comes to us through Moses and Abraham, great. If you believe God comes to us through Buddha, great. Whatever. It's all good, you know. And all we have to do is be kind and loving to each other and more forgiving of ourselves as well as for others. And we'll make it, you know, but going the other way and looking for division and constantly creating division, it does nothing for the world.
It causes pain and suffering and wars and things that we shouldn't have to be even concerned about in this small world now, because we're so connected, that we should be looking in a different direction of how, instead of all this bickering on the news and everything else and watching these politicians act like they're kindergarten just fighting with each other. And I'm not going to pass that. I'm not going to pass that because I don't like you. It's so insane when the American people are going, we need something passed. Hello, we need to go back to work and we need to do this or that. And it's all these little bickerings are just dividing the people. I mean, as far as race goes, I don't even look at people's race. I'm just like, I mean, I didn't look at the lady's race yesterday and say, oh, I can't help you because you're black. No, I didn't even think about that. I think it's too much negativity coming from the media. But because we need to let people know they're humans and we're all humans and we can all help each other. We can all treat each other in a humane way.
Well, yes.
I think your book is going to open up people's eyes.
I hope so. I hope it brings them joy too. I hope it makes them smile, because I think the biggest key is to be the peace we seek, to live by example. You know, I mean, I post a lot of positive things on Facebook, and people have accused me of being holier than thou. And I'm like, please, I am not holier than thou. Anyone who knows me knows I'm not holier than thou. But what I am is I try to be positive. I make the effort to be positive, because it's a broken world. This isn't heaven. You know, this is a broken world. So we're dealing with broken people, and it's never going to be fixed. Okay, it's just not going to happen, but it will be easier when we're more forgiving and understanding and compassionate, and just so widen our margins of errors for ourselves and others.
Exactly. And you know, before we talk about your book again, I wanted to ask you about your show. Tell our audience about your show and the name of it and how they can watch it, and also what it's about.
Well, thank you. Yes, the show is called Then Again with Herbie J. Pilato, and it's distributed by Shout Factory TV on Amazon Prime in Amazon Prime UK. At least I still think it's there. It was the first season. We did a kind of a second season via Zoom, and it's still kind of in the editing process. But it's a focus on classic TV shows that are beloved by so many. In the first season, I interviewed Ed Asner, God bless him now in heaven, Robert Conrad, who gave his last interview to talk about the Wild Wild West, Burt Ward from Batman. We did a tribute to Gary Marshall with Eddie Mecca, who has now passed away as well. He played the big Ragu on the Laverne and Shirley. Cindy Williams was on that show. Marion Ross from Happy Days, as Happy Days and Laverne and Shirley are both productions of Gary Marshall's. We did a tribute to Dark Shadows. And, you know, it's just a beautiful show, really, that, again, uplifting. You know, no major controversies. That's just not where I'm coming from. And it really stemmed from live events that I was doing at the Burbank Barnes & Noble, where I was meeting and talking with all my classic TV friends about their books or whatnot, people like Kathy Garver and Don Wells, who's just also passed away, Larry Wilcox from Chips, and a dear friend of mine, Joel Eisenberg, was attending these events, and he said to me at the end of the six-month period I was doing the events, he goes, I want to turn this into a TV show. And then, you know, it was like, well, it happened like in Christmas 2015. And it became then again with Herbie J. Pilato. So I'm not really sure if, you know, the show will go on again and again and again. But I always wanted to do my own TV show. I did it. I'm proud of it. It's out there. It's not the biggest TV show in the world, but it's mine, you know, and I'm very proud of it. And it's a hearkening back to the way they used to do talk shows back in the day, you know, with Merv Griffin and Mike Douglas and whatnot.
I produced a talk show on cable TV, Time Warner and Cox for about 10 years called Issues of the Day. And I would interview victims of injustices, and then I'd have a lawyer or a politician or a community leader come in, and we discuss the issue and try to come up with some suggestions on how to change it so that it didn't happen to other people. And it was I loved it. I loved doing it. And it's something that, yes, if you love doing what you do, then you should do it, right?
Well, you know, and the show and my friend, my colleague and friend Joel Eisenberg, it happened. We didn't plan on it. You know, we always wanted to work together, but the show itself just happened. When I was doing those live events, I wasn't thinking, well, I'm going to turn this into a TV show one day. I wasn't even making any money at those live events. You know, I was doing it every week because they asked me to originally to do something just for a couple weeks in the summer, and then it kept on going at week after week. And I was, you know, booking it. I was working 40 hours a week. Maybe I got a couple donations to my Classic TV Preservation Society nonprofit because of it, but it wasn't much. But I was having fun, and I was totally not thinking about what I was, you know, if this was going to be a big career move for me. I was just having fun. And as a result, the show happened, you know, and it was a culmination of everything, you know, that I always wanted.
You and I are very similar because I wasn't thinking about doing AM/FM radio shows or a TV show at all whatsoever. I was in the beauty industry.
Right.
And then this injustice happened in my life. And I said, oh, my gosh, if this is happening to me, it has to be happening to other people. So then I just start writing newsletters. Before I know it, I had all these people calling me. Then I said, well, I didn't know this was happening to so many people. I was over my head. So I was like, how am I going to get this information out? So then I don't know. It all just kind of snowballed. It hit the newspapers, got on radio shows, and I produced my own. I mean, none of this, it was all just not in a plan. But it was a passion to help people, so it kind of just evolved. And it wasn't for any money. It was to help people so that they can, you know, be aware of pitfalls in our society when it comes to the legal system and going into the and help probably millions of people, to tell you the truth, over the years, because it's been going on for 30 years. And so but I wouldn't change a thing. I mean, I would still do it. I would still do it to this day, because if you can help people and you can change laws and you can make the politicians aware and the public aware, you know, whether it's something about Christmas and being and trying to put a smile on people's faces and so they can relax and enjoy a story or stories about your life, Herbie J. Pilatus' life, or whatever people do to make it a better world, it happens, you know, and God makes a way. I mean, I wasn't thinking about any of these things. I wanted to be in the beauty business. And it just snowballed out of a passion that this is unjust and we have to change it. So I think that, you know, I think we're coming to a point now where more people are realizing, like you, that, you know, writing books, The 12 Best Secrets of Christmas, is going to put that smile on people's faces and it's going to make them feel better. And I think it's important. I really do, to put more positivity back into our country and into our youth, the younger people's minds too. And so why don't you tell us too, about what it's like to have been a page and then have done so many wonderful things, and what does it feel like to have been a successful writer and producer and meet so many celebrities? What does it feel like to you personally?
Well, I mean, you know, it's to I have met everybody I've always wanted to meet. I've written about everybody I've always wanted to write about. I've become friends with many of the people that I've always admired. So it's a pretty cool thing, you know, and it's hard not to sound like you're bragging when you talk about these things, but I'm really not. You know, I'm just sharing the joy that I had in the pursuit of what was important to me, you know, and what helped keep me grounded through it all was my background, you know, and that I came from, my parents had nothing. You know, they didn't have any equity and they didn't have any money. They didn't have great jobs. They were just beautiful, good people, hardworking people who did not have a lot of guidance to help them think about the future. So they kept me grounded. And then when I would meet people like Elizabeth Montgomery, who to me was as down to earth as you're going to get in Hollywood. You know, her parents were Robert Montgomery and Elizabeth Allen, major stars, but she was unaffected in any negative way by her status and her wealthy status or her prestigious background. She still remained down to earth. So that impressed me. And that really impresses me in any celebrity or anyone who has a lot, whatever, however you want to define a lot, and where they're generous and kind and where you can sit down and have a cup of coffee with them like you would anybody else. What I am offended by, and I guess that really is a good word, is arrogance. It's just such a turnoff for me, and I'm not impressed with it. That and phoniness and being fake, you know, I just can't deal with it. And I don't want to be around it. You know, I'll smile and go, okay. And then I'll just, you know, I don't want to listen to anybody talk. First of all, you got to have a conversation. And you got to be interested in other people. Now I'm talking a lot right now because you're asking me questions and this show is about, you know, some of my work. But if we're out and we're talking and I want to, you know, and have a conversation with you, I want to say, how are you doing today? Tell me about you, going on in your life, and then I'll shut up. But some people don't know when to stop talking, and some people don't know when to listen. So I try to be very conscious of that. Like, I'm going to shut up right now so you can talk.
No, that's fine, because you're talking about things I'm interested in, because when I was younger, I would interrupt because I couldn't wait. Well, okay, your story's great, but listen to mine, you know. And so, and I think a lot of people do that, you know, and it's an art to finally figure out that, you know what, you need to listen more, you know, and because you do learn from people when you listen. And so I took a class, actually, a workshop, and it's something you have to practice about 20 years ago. And I still have to practice it today, but I do better. And, you know, and I'm not so anxious to tell you my story as much as I want to hear about you. And that's why I let my guests talk, because to me, story is interesting. I know my story. Now that I'm older, I definitely know my story. And I but I want to hear your story. What's interesting to you? What makes you tick? You know, what are your hurts? What are you concerned about? And I think, you know, that it's important to listen. I think it's so important to listen, and so rude to cut people off. And I was guilty of that. And so I try not to do that, and I try to listen. And I find that I learn so much more. And you don't even have to give people advice sometimes. They don't really want it. They just wanted someone to hear them, you know, whether they're in pain or they just have to get something off their chest. Because people don't listen today. It's a me, me, me world. And so it's a real gift when you can find somebody to listen, I think.
Well, you know, I agree. And, you know, it's everybody wants to feel like they've contributed something to the world or to the conversation. Everybody wants to feel validated. And, you know, if you're the only one talking in a conversation, it's not a conversation. You know, if you're the only one, you know, listening, it's not a conversation. It has to, a conversation means talking between people. And you have to say something and then let the other person respond and then think about what they said and then you respond. And then that's, and go back and forth with a respectful game of tennis, of verbal tennis, whatever you want to call it. Not in competition. That's the wrong metaphor or whatever it is. It has to be just two people talking and listening, not just one person talking. That's all.
Exactly. And I think, you know, I think it really bonds people together when you actually put down your phone. So, I mean, to me, that's so rude when people are texting while you're talking. And yeah. I just find it very rude. And I went to dinner with some psychologist one time, and he's like, oh, excuse me, I have to take this. And he's texting, you know. Mm-hmm. And it just totally turned me off. I was like, okay, nice man, but, you know, that's rude, and you're a psychologist. You should know better.
Yes, and I would be upset. I would be upset just in back in the old days if I'd go visit somebody and I'd walk in and they'd be on the phone and they would keep on talking. It's like, hey, I'm here in person. Now you can say goodbye to that person. If I'm ever on the phone, you know, either today or back in the old days when they were on the wall, if someone comes over, it's the end of the phone conversation. The phone conversation is over, and I now talk to the person in front of me in reality.
It's like when you walk into a store and they're on the phone and they don't even acknowledge you at all. They just keep talking on the phone.
Yeah.
Like, okay,
you know, and they,
well,
and they can't
alrighty
help
then.
Well, now it's become such an addiction. Now the phones have become so a part of our lives. It's pretty scary. I know that the woman who, one of the hosts of the Today Show, I think she went on some sabbatical recently. I can't think of her name. From using her phone at all, and she felt just terrific. You know, it was no social media, no phone, nothing.
Yeah, it's like you become a slave to these computers and these phones if you aren't careful.
Yeah, Yes.
You know, and you forget about the rest of the world, you know. And people are looking down all the time instead of looking up. And I go, you know, that it's more healthy to look up at the sky and the stars and the clouds and get some fresh air and come out from your bubble there with your phone and breathe in and take some deep breaths. And, you know, it helps clean the cobwebs from your head, too. And just look around you. They don't even look around them on what's happening. And I think, you know, the phones are great. I think the computers are great, have great value. But also I think we have to be careful about not being totally addicted to them. But speaking of that, I think that Sean Connery is one of the most handsome men ever, along with Clint Eastwood. All my little fantasies there. And so what was it like when you wrote about Sean Connery? Is there anything you could tell?
Well, Sean, yeah, and that book is coming out, I think, in 23. I was fascinated, you know, like everybody else, with Sean Connery. He's just the coolest James Bond ever. No one can outdo James or Sean as James. But I really wasn't thinking about ever writing a book about him or Diana Rigg or George Lucas and Steven Spielberg, which are two of the other books I'm working on. And I just was contacted by this wonderful agent who believed in me, and he, you know, instilled those ideas in my head. We were talking about what new books or what new celebrities to write about. I was kind of done with books. I really was. But Sean Connery had just died and Diana Rigg had just died. And we were like, huh, what if we did that? So we did, and I wrote the proposals, and we sold them, like all three of those books, within 3 weeks.
Wow.
And
that's amazing.
It was just, yeah, it really is. It really, really is, especially because I was, in my head, I was done with books, or that kind of book. So, yeah, Sean Connery was a very amazing human being. Who did so much for so many
really?
Donation-wise charities and whatnot. And unfortunately, you know, he was overshadowed, or the news about his alleged issues with his first wife that she wrote about in her book, you know, that kind of tarnished him. So I present and I talk about all of that, you know, and essentially saying in the book that, you know, look at, no, again, everybody's flawed. Nobody's perfect. I'm certainly not. And whatever happened between Sean and his wife, they know the truth, okay? And they took it to their grave. So it was difficult to write about that, though. But I covered it, but I also talked about all the women who loved him and who adored him and who respected him and who he respected. So it's not like he didn't have respect from women. He did a lot. And also a lot of men as well. But it was definitely a challenge to write about him.
Well, that is really, that's going to be really, really great when that comes out, because I'm sure you have a lot of different little tidbits that people don't know about, but they love Sean Connery.
Yeah, Richard DeMarco, who was his best friend growing up in Scotland, and who stayed in touch with him through his whole life, Richard DeMarco, the amazing Renaissance man that he is, artist, extraordinaire in every way, he has written the foreword to the book and gave exclusive interviews for the book. So I'm very excited and honored to have Richard DeMarco involved with the Sean Connery book.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic. I'm so proud of you, Herbie J. Pilato, and you are just a wonder doing all these wonderful things and to help people put a smile on their face or learn more about the celebrities they love to watch in the movies and television, and because it is interesting to read about them and to see their documentaries and, you know, I mean, my mother watched General Hospital. So, I mean, you could just go back, you know, so many years. And just, I interviewed another gentleman, but he passed away. But he was a page for the Johnny Carson show. And then he ended up being a conductor for the band at one point. And so he had a lot of stories, too. So I just wanted to share that with you because he started out as a page as well. So
wow.
A page.
Well, you know what it is, Rose? This is what it is. If an idea or when an idea comes to you, okay, whatever it is, whether it's the idea to write a book, do a painting, do a TV show, create a new, I don't know, wrench for the kitchen, whatever, new invention, whatever. When that idea comes to you, that is a whisper from the universe that you are supposed to follow through on that idea. That's an idea that the Lord, heaven, Buddha, Jesus, Moses, whatever, has placed inside you. And when you don't follow through on that, then the people who will benefit from it will lose out. The universe is kind of disappointed. And then you will be disappointed in not fulfilling that aspect of you. You know, people told me my whole life, Herbie J., you're never going to meet Elizabeth Montgomery. Herbie J., you'll never move to California. Herbie J., you'll never go to UCLA. Herbie J., you'll never be a writer. Herbie J., you'll never be a documentarian. Herbie J., you'll never get the Bewitched book. On and on and on. I didn't listen to any of them. You don't listen to the negative voices, ever. You just listen to the positive. That's what Christmas is about, Charlie Brown.
Exactly, and I love finishing up on that note because that's my motto, too. It's like God didn't wake you up at 3:30 in the morning or 4:30 in the morning with an idea. And there you are, like, and I learned that from the very first poem that came in my head at like 3:30 in the morning. I didn't write it down. It was years ago. And it was a great poem, and I tried to put it back together because I went back to sleep. I couldn't put it back together the way I heard it. And so from that point on, I kept a pad of paper and a pen by my bed because I learned that you need to pay attention to the voice in your head.
Yeah, you do. And the good voice, because that bad one comes in
there
sometimes too.
Yeah, exactly,
you know?
But we're not going to listen to him.
Exactly.
So I want everyone to go out and when it comes out, write the name of the book down, The 12 Best Secrets of Christmas, Holiday Revelations to Celebrate All Year Long coming in 2022. And you have like a minute, Herbie J. Pilato, to let our audience know any of the information you'd like and to find you on a website however.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, I have an Amazon page on Amazon where you can order any of my previous books about classic TV, Elizabeth Montgomery, Bewitched, Life Goes On, The $6 Million Man, Mary Tyler Moore. You can go to Amazon and order them there, or you can go to herbiejpilato.com and order them directly from me through that website. You could also follow me on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram. I'm all over the place. So just pop in and say hello, and if you want to order any of my books directly, as I say, you can contact me through my website or through social media.
Fantastic. And you have a very Merry Christmas, and I hope Santa's good to you, and a blessed 2022 and a successful one, Herbie J. Pilato.
Santa's already given me my first gift of the year, and that is having being on your beautiful show and speaking with you. So thank you, and Merry Christmas to you, Rose.
Thank you so much, and we'll talk again in 2022. Bye-bye.
Okay, all right. See you later.
And Herbie J. Pilato has left the building, and what a great dynamic person, and you really should look up his books because they're really exciting, and they're all the people we love and we are curious about, and we still watch a lot of their shows. on the classics, and you can even find some of them on YouTube too. Sometimes I go back to YouTube when I want to take a break and have a cup of coffee, and I'll look up the classic TV shows from the 60s and 70s, and it's fantastic, the difference, just the difference in the all-American family, traditional families, and even though they had their problems and things like that, life was a little easier back then. Not easier financially, maybe, or whatever, but people were concerned about each other in the neighborhood. And, I mean, if you needed something, my mother would go and do whatever she could for a neighbor, or the neighbors would come over and do whatever they could for us. It was really about people in the neighborhood caring about each other. And it's sad today because most people don't even know each other any longer in their own neighborhood. So we need to bring community back in 2022 and love. So Herbie J. Pilato left the building, and Rose Colombo must leave the building as well. So God bless you. Merry, Merry Christmas. May Santa bring all your little wishes to you down the chimney. And don't forget to leave him some cookies and milk. And God bless each of you. And if you are having some difficulties this Christmas, our prayers are with you. We did not forget you, who had some natural disasters in America and around the world. And we will never forget you. So God bless you.
Rose Colombo is signing off, and she's left the building. Be sure to bookmark and share Colombo Chronicles Live every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. on the West Coast. Or if you're sleepless in the big city, that would be 11 to midnight on the East Coast. Rose Colombo says, remember, you're never alone when you tune in every Wednesday to Colombo Chronicles.